Oh, just realized I have gum in my mouth.
Gum.
Slurp, slurp.
Awkward.
Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex. We also have Terry. This week we're watching The Armageddon Factor, written by Bob Baker and Dave Martin, directed by Michael Hayes, aired January 20th through the 24th of February, 1979. Before we get started, it is time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 60-second plot synopsis. How do I get to go?
The Doctor, a monoland, not a planet, that's actively engaged in nuclear war with another planet? It's led by two people, a princess that's incredibly empathic and is also a key, but you don't know that. Forget I told you about that. And then also this other completely crazy friggin' Marshall person who wants to destroy all the things. And the Doctor's like, wait, no, hold up, something weird's going on here. I'm going to be your friend. And the Marshall's like, I fuck friends. I don't like you or anybody involved with you, but I'll use you. And then he sends him to the planet Zeos or whatever. And then he's kidnapped and he goes to the planet evil douchebag guy with skull face. And he's like, I expect you to fuck up, so I'll be right back. And then they all leave. And then the Doctor fucks up. And everybody goes mind controlled. And is not a nice person anymore. And then they all get together and the Marshal is coming to blow everything up. And the Doctor's like, wait, I'm going to make this thing. It's going to make the thing the full thing. And then I'm going to use the thing. But the thing is kind of degrading. It doesn't work for very long. So now they're on the time crunch. And then the planet doesn't blow up. The missiles go off to Planet Evil. The Shadow dies. The last
time.
Piece is...
Shut up. Stop talking.
I have a whistle in my nose. So if you hear that throughout the night, sorry.
You heard it here, everybody. Sam is sorry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
One day there was a poll in the Doctor Who magazine.
Ooh.
Celebrating 50 years of this dumbass show that we watched.
Nice.
And they ranked all of the classic Doctor Who stories from their favorite to their least favorite. This is one of those stories. Where do you think on that list out of 156 stories did it land?
Ooh, I'm going to say a solid 88.
The reason I asked Terry first is because he is in first place in this game. If you take the average of how far away from the correct answer you are every week, his second place is Alex. So, Alex, you go next.
I'm going to go 62, Bob.
And very close behind him is his better half, Jill. Jill, where do you think this one fell?
54.
Very slightly behind Jill is Sam.
Oh, nice.
Sam,
I
where
know his build up is gonna end.
Did this fall?
70.
And way behind everybody is Cody. Cody, where'd this one fall?
Even bad. I have a strategy, and the strategy is 75.
Well, I think in... Oh, wait, what'd you say, Terry?
88.
Yeah, Terry wins again.
What?
It is 126.
Okay, we need to bring whiteboards back, because I got nervous and rated it higher than I wanted to.
You can do whatever you want, Sam. You rate it anywhere you want to.
Everyone needs to. No one gets to know anything else.
Yeah, I think fandom, like, they did another poll in 2009 and redid it in 2013, and this fell 40 spots. But that includes New Who in that 40 spots that it fell. I think people just kind of rope the whole of the Key to Time series as kind of a failure. Just kind of shoehorning in the Key to, like, those, we've only watched the first one, the last
one.
We'll get to the others one day.
I'm gonna die on that hill. The first one was good.
Well, Let's talk about this one. Why don't you go first, Sam?
This one's fine. Oh, I did have some spoilers. I Googled who the princess was as an actress.
Lala Ward?
Yeah.
Oh. We've talked about it in the past.
Oh, what kind of spoiled?
She.
Yeah. She was married to Tom Baker.
Oh, yeah.
For a short time.
She plays the next companion in the next episode. So she, the next episode is Romana regenerating into Lala Ward. And the doctor being like, you can't turn into her. That's the princess. We just came from there. And she's like, yeah, fuck it. I can do whatever I want.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Because when I Googled her, it was kept saying that she was princess and that she was also Romana. And I was like, she's not Romana. I'm so confused as to what's happening.
So they kick the Romana off because the princess turns into her?
It was during the filming of this story, she put in that she was leaving.
Why? She's so good.
I don't think she loved it. Kind of like the monotony of the stories. Mm. And this season was very monotonous. We've only watched two of the five
episodes. Looking for a
stories.
Key in every episode.
Yeah. And Tom Baker was like really hard to get along with. I think they did get along pretty well, but he was like, the guy who directed this one almost punched Tom Baker at one point, like, and he was one of the ones Tom Baker liked. And it was just like, I did a year. That's good. She's like, she had other options. It was Lala Ward hadn't worked in a year before she got this. And then she says that she joked when she told everybody that she was leaving that they should hire Lala Ward. And then they did. Or I'm sure for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that Tom Baker loved her. And she shows up on all the making of documentaries. Tom Baker didn't want anything to do with Doctor Who in the late 90s, but so he's not on any of them. But she's on all of them, mostly talking about how shitty everything was, because her and Tom Baker in a year went from in love to married to hating each other.
They were married 16 months, I'm pretty sure it said.
Yeah,
or 18.
Takes a while to get divorced.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, could have been a shorter parter if they cut out all the scenes of canine staring at things and going...
I think if this was four parts, it could be like a top 25 episode, like story.
For sure.
And I would argue, don't cut out K-9. Cut out all the people talking. K-9 is good.
Agreed.
Yeah, there was... It's one of the rare cases where the writers were picked and they're like, it's the last story of this season long thing we're doing. We need six episodes. Go. And so they had a lot of restrictions on what they could do.
Well, it went unrestricted and long. So
when you have to have six parts and you're told that in advance, it's tough. And we see it a lot where it's like, writers will just, in episode three, so at the end of episode two, he's going to get caught and put in jail. And then in episode three, he's going to get out and then he's going to run around. And at the end of the episode, he's going to get caught and put back in jail. So that from the end of episode two to the beginning of episode four, nothing has changed. And they don't do that in this one. There is a progression with every episode, at least.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my thoughts. Who's next?
Okay, Cody.
It was fine. It was fine. There are some fun. There's some fun things. The villain was very cool. I thought his acting was really neat. I didn't care much for the plot. I hated that the princess was the key. But
who's villain acting? The box?
What?
Or the Marshall.
The Shadow?
The Shadow.
The Shadow. The Shadow. The okay, I was like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, the okay. Shadow. I was
okay,
talking
sorry.
About it was definitely, it,
also, no. The Shadow? Really?
I wouldn't watch this episode, or I wouldn't watch this series and be like, I'm done with this. But I wouldn't watch this episode and be like, I'm going to watch four more episodes, you know?
I'm sure Terry can tell us the name of the actor that played the Shadow, but he was a big deal. Everyone was kind of excited to have him around. In the making of, Lala Ward said that getting to do a part like that where you can just be nuts and be the bad guy is super fun. And she's like, or you get to be the princess. She's like, I hate my job.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Like, being the villain has always been the funnest thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. Very Palpatine-esque.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if we had been introduced to Palpatine yet. Definitely not. That was an Empire.
Yeah, that was the 90s. When did Star Wars come out?
What is this, Star Trek?
Oh, 80s? No.
Go walk outside.
70s?
The 90s. Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980.
See, this is why...
Star Wars was 77.
We need you at trivia. And by we, I mean everybody else who goes to trivia.
I'm the only one that goes to trivia.
By we mean yourself.
Yes.
That's why you need
I do have me at trivia, and I'm very happy to have me.
Cody, you went from 90s to 60s, though. Like, that's such a...
I cover the bases.
Welcome to my life.
Well, and like, there were Star Wars movies in the 90s. Well, one.
They had never stopped, and, you know?
To think that that came out, to think that The Phantom Menace came out in the same decade as Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, but was Palpatine in The Phantom? Answer, yes.
Okay, can we talk about something other than Doctor Who?
No, if it was a pop culture podcast and you don't know anything about anything. Derry, what'd you think of this one?
It was fine. I thought it dragged on too long. I did enjoy a lot of the short quip like dialogue for comedy. It reminded me a lot of New Who in how they're fast talking and comedic. I wrote down quite a few lines that I really liked. One of them was just K-9. It's like, there's nothing here except that corpse on the left. It's like, oh, okay. But, yeah, no.
My favorite K-9 was him clearing his throat when he was going to act.
Yeah.
He's like, ahem, the doctor is dead.
K-9, he had great quips.
He did. But, I don't know, it felt really choppy at times, and I wasn't impressed with the Shadow at all. Like, his fucking mask on his head looked god-awful, and they kept doing close-ups on him, and it was just like, someone just realign it properly. And then, like, the time when he had his big speech with the doctor, he's fucking sitting the whole time. Like, everyone is just looking down on him. It's like, this is not...
He's an old man.
...how a power move works.
Let him sit.
Oh, my God. It was just...
He couldn't stand the light.
I propose it that's exactly dark. How a power move works. A power
yeah, bottom. And have Romana standing above you the whole speech.
Yeah.
Speaking of Palpatine, his entire big speech in Return of the Jedi is sitting in a chair.
Yeah, but the chair is elevated above everyone else.
Eh.
No.
Yeah.
Luke and Vader are standing above him.
I mean, the only thing that was good, I feel, in this was Romana's outfit.
Oh, hey. The same outfit Romana's been wearing.
Which...
Not gonna get an argument out of me.
Episode 4, she leans forward to the camera, and I was like, yes. Dear God, what is happening?
Pandering. Pandering is happening.
Pandering.
Yeah. She's got to get work after this, too, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It is 1978 or whatever it is.
Terry posted a picture of her leaning forward in our Discord chat. Just so everybody knows what kind of degeneracy this poor man has devolved into because of Romana. He's had that picture since Wednesday, last week, probably.
You're wondering what it would take to get him to look down a woman's shirt. It was Mary Tam from 1979.
Boobs transcend all favors.
Hey, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this one?
I really liked it through probably like episode 4, but was just like underwhelmed by the wrap up. Like, I liked all the character development. I liked getting to know Princess Astra. Was not surprised she was the key, but like, character development was fun. Like, the development of Zeos and the Zeons and all of that stuff. Really enjoyed. I really like Romana. Okay, hold on. Gotta be careful with my words. If I say I would like to see more of her, we're probably gonna watch more Old Who.
You're going to see three more stories with her in them.
Okay.
Regardless of your thoughts.
Perfect. So I am looking forward to seeing Romana more in the three more stories we're watching.
We'll be like in three years.
I just like her dynamic. Like, I feel like it's more what we see with New Who, of like the Doctor and the Companion, of more like working together. And like, they're each tackling their things, but like, they clearly, like, they are companions. Like, they have a relationship. And it's fun to see that. Absolutely love K-9. Like, K-9 in this story, like, is what made it for me. If there wasn't K-9, probably would have, like, checked out a long time ago. But really, the only underwhelming thing of it for me was just the, like, wrap-up. Like, all of episode 6 at... It just felt like so scattered, and like there was so much character development that just went away in the wrap up. I don't know how it could have been better, but I just didn't like that particularly. But everything else I really enjoyed. I liked a lot of the character development and so much of the story just leading up to the finality of the story.
Alex.
Yeah, I also enjoyed this. I thought, so in the game, I'm trying a new thing where whatever Terry says, I decide if he's like, if correct. It's low or high from him.
Yeah, and do so, we just do over under with Terry?
Yeah,
can that Terry's be the new game?
Okay, and, no, then I have to go last every time.
Nope. And then I try to decide like how wrong he is. And I thought he was pretty wrong. I went like 60s off of his 80. But. Yeah, I enjoyed this one.
He was off by 40, you're right. He was very wrong.
Just the wrong way.
We're wronger.
I thought it was, anyway. It was, yeah, good story. The character and cast of this one, I thought was really, really good. And the captions, because I watched it with captions, was killing me. Every time the Shadow laughed, it was laughing evilly. It wasn't even menacing. Like, it was evilly. It was so funny. Jake, what did you think?
Oh, thanks for asking. I enjoyed it very much. Obviously, it's too long. Didn't need most of the end. Even after like episode 3, it was like, this is wrapping up, right? That's like when the war was over. We're really just got that countdown. I like the time loop thing, like pausing time in that just specific area to stop those two things from happening and then having to go back and fix them at the end. But that could have been done a lot faster. Nobody mentioned Dax, the other Time Lord that's in the story.
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We're not talking. We haven't really talked about the episode yet.
The random two episode character we didn't talk about?
I like
how
they
pivotal to the story.
They made fun of his accent, which yeah. I thought was really funny.
I loved it.
I like him because you at first you're kind of like skeptical, and it seems like the Doctor's skeptical, and then he just like comes through. And even at the end when he's like, "You take the TARDIS, I'll meet you there." As soon as they land, he's there, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I brought that dude too. So found him knocked out."
The whole time I was thinking, because he was calling the Doctor something else. So
Theta Sigma.
So I Feet. Thought they were yeah. I thought they were yeah. like he was mistaking him for someone. And so then the Doctor was playing into the ruse to try and like get buddy buddy with someone who's on the side of the Shadow, like kind of an infiltration thing.
That's the Doctor's name.
Theta? What was it?
Theta Sigma.
Have we known that?
No.
Crazy.
It's also not really the Doctor's name. So it's kind of hinted at here and established in a Sylvester McCoy story that is a nickname he went by when he was in university. And these two graduated together. They went to school together.
And he has a doctorate.
As an actual doctor.
Yeah,
in cheese making and also in... What else has he said?
Poetry.
He's said like multiple things previously. Or in the futurely, you know, timey-wimey. More recent episodes.
What I like most about this story in this season is that it shows that we like don't need like a contemporary Earth human.
Yes. There were two Time Lords.
Three.
There's two Time Lords and a robot dog. That's all we need.
That's all we need.
And Tom Baker, like the best actor to play the Doctor ever, probably.
Because not every Time Lord is like the Doctor or the Master or Rassilon. Like, yeah. There's different people. Like, let's explore this.
Some of them are just out there with jobs.
Right? Yeah, this dude's just like, just grinding.
Oh, I got contracted to clean up the mess on Zeon. It's like, cool, have fun, buddy.
Just out here grinding. He's got that grind set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll see more of that later, where we'll have alien companions, and I don't know, even like this season coming up, we're recording this on March 11th. I don't know if it'll come out before Shooty's second season or not, but that season coming up is like they're bringing back the woman who played that soldier in Boom. In his first season, she's the new companion. And according to the trailer, at least, there's some connection to her, but she's a different person. Just make it her. Just go. The Doctor says in that story, hey, I'm going to come by and check in on you guys. Just have him go check in and be like, oh, shit, you need help. Hop in the TARDIS. Come live with me. But no, it's got to be a contemporary woman from England in 2025.
Yeah, always that's and only.
Is that a stipulation? Like, from the BBC? Like, why do writers keep doing that?
So we feel heard and acknowledged as humans.
Yeah, you have to have somebody that speaks for the audience. But
we're dum-dums. Talk down to
this
us.
This shows that, like, Romana and Drax, even though they're both Time Lords, they have a different way of thinking than the Doctor does. So when shit's going down, they still ask the same questions a human companion would ask, even though they're smart and capable. They Time Lord society looks down on the stuff the Doctor's doing, so they're not ready for that kind of, they're just not on the same wavelength as him. And so it works. You just need someone to ask the Doctor questions. It doesn't mean they're an idiot.
Yes, it does. I'm
trying to think of like other non Earthling companions, like Nardal. Was he technically a companion?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
an alien.
He wrote in the TARDIS.
Jack.
Well, Jack, yeah.
He's from the Beauchamp Peninsula in the 51st century.
And he was actually smart. Like, he was doing modifications to the TARDIS. So,
yeah.
Like, come on.
And the only difference between him and Rose is he would ask a question and the Doctor would answer and he'd go, oh, that's genius. Whereas Rose would just go, oh, I don't know what that means.
Man, come on, writers. Let's get imaginative.
Yeah. Maybe never. Like, in most of the 80s, there's very few contemporary companions, Earth companions. It'll be interesting when we get there.
Maybe that's why they never do it again, because after the 80s, it died for like 10 years.
They also kind of, after Romana, start going back to larger TARDIS teams. But we will be stuck with one pretty lady for quite a while before we get to that point.
All right.
Let's see if I have any fun. Episode 1 was the 500th episode of Doctor Who.
Whoa.
Wow, that's what a disappointment. Fact, right?
Ooh.
I mean, you make enough episodes, one of them's going to stick.
This is the last six-parter.
Woo!
Now they're back to eight,
now
baby.
Now there's seven parters.
Oh, no.
Hey. No, it's a whole season.
But also, remember, gang.
It's not the last one for us.
Yeah, we're ahead of where we
going
are.
Going forward, there's also, there's one story, because they kind of start experimenting with the format a little bit. Like, at one point, they go to 45-minute episodes for, like, a season. And there's one story that's I think, 3 45-minute episodes. And when they sold it internationally, they did it as 6 25-minute episodes. They, like, broke it up. So that one, you could say, is 6, but it's really 3. It's weird. Anyway.
Did they put in the recaps or did Amazon?
They did.
They're garbage.
Yeah, that was like a whole episode in themselves.
Yeah, when you're running, you know, 100 seconds short, it's like, that'll just throw in.
So the bad. It's like, this snip meant nothing about the story at all.
It's been a week. You got to remember. They didn't watch them all in one day like you guys.
I also thought when the time loop kicked in and he was saying fire over and over again, I thought that was an editing error.
Oh, same.
I started laughing that. And I was like, oh.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that drug on so long.
Got to establish it. You know, you got to introduce what a time loop means to a 70s science fiction audience.
Do it three times and fill it with exposition.
Looping time.
I have used the key to time to capture the Marshall in a time loop.
Okay, go back to the season 5 finale, Matt Smith's first season, and River is stuck in a time loop in the TARDIS. They go through that like 14 fucking times. Stephen Moffat loves repeating shit over and over again.
Anything River does is excusable.
In this story, though, they introduce little things like that very nicely. Like in the first or second episode, I can't remember, when they put the princess in like the radiation room, like, her wrist started beeping, and like I didn't notice it until like I realized there was a noise. I was like, wait, what's happening? And then I was like, oh, that's a radiation wrist thing. Like it wasn't spoken out loud. It was a show versus tell.
But they set it up in the previous scene because her boyfriend uses that as an excuse to get alone with her. Like, oh, your little thing needs a tune up, your radiation detector.
Like, we need more
and
of that.
So he pulls her aside.
We need
so now we know
all of that.
Yeah. And these writers, they're good. We've watched their first story earlier, and it wasn't great. They've done some more in between the first one and this one that are good, and we'll get to them. So I don't want to give away too much, but this duo of Bob Baker and Dave Martin, they're some of the more prolific Doctor Who writers. And stuff like that.
I mean, even in New Who, we need more of that. Like, show versus tell, because, damn, it's tough sometimes.
Also, can we circle around back to the boyfriend, Merrick?
No.
Okay.
Hold on, Jill, are we circling?
Damn it.
Okay. I'm curious to hear about Merrick, but fine. Okay.
He's the doctor. And I get that, like, he loves Astra, but, oh my god, it's like all rationality and thought in his brain is just gone, and he's just like, I have to get Astra. It's like, that's great. It's your motivation. But you're still a smart person, right? Like, you can figure stuff out. And, oh my god, he was just... like, there was no development for him. The only other thing that was great about him was he doesn't know what bees are. And it's just, what are bees? Oh, and immediately shut up.
Why is the doctor such a dick about his answer, though?
Right? Insects, anyway.
Did anyone think it was concerning that they didn't have any tie back for Astra to Merrick? Like, he was so obsessed, and she was just like, no.
Wanted nothing
she was,
to do with
you know,
well, she was
taken over or whatever. Yeah, but
she was mind controlled for most of the story.
But then she wasn't, and she still didn't give a shit.
Well, it was her destiny.
She goes and sees him in his hospital bed.
And the first thing she whispers in his ear, very one-sided.
I am the sixth princess of the sixth dynasty.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The sixth generation.
Dynasty.
She's a piece of, like, the most powerful celestial magic item in the world. She's not even a fucking person.
So basically it's like, fuck you, Merrick.
Which really?
Yeah, Merrick. So
Merrick's
six, like,
this seems
I
evil.
Like blonde girl.
Yeah,
don't be the 666.
Yeah. So is Astra, like, immortal then, since she's a part of this piece of time?
She is now.
No, it passes through her family.
And now she's a key. So are keys immortal? Then
no,
yes.
She is not immortal either.
So if some other, like, 666 shows up in time in a person, no. They become the piece?
It'll be the 7th 6th 6.
Oh, okay.
That's how she numbers work, Terry.
Yeah.
Back then and now.
It was just
now.
Convenient that she was the 6th of... You see, it's like a Kingdom Phylum class, but the only thing we care about is the class. As long as that number is 6, we're good.
Yeah. Not like that at all, but close enough.
When she was talking about how you can either be evil and have the best time ever, or be a princess and have a shitty time, she's so right. Also, her character was shit. Like, oh, yeah. Maybe don't go into the nuclear wasteland. I'm gonna. I need to. Shut up.
So she obviously didn't have very much to say about the story other than, like, the stuff that was dumb, but she hadn't acted in like a year. She was she was like painting or something and making a living off of it, and the director had seen her in a movie and was like, oh, she's good. And so she didn't audition, he just offered it to her, and she was like, well, that's like flattering and nice, so you know, you just get given a job. And it's, you know, it's 8-10 weeks out of her life, and it was like a really big show, so like, why not?
It'd be rude to say no.
And she does say, like, she's like, oh, I am blonde and speak real posh. That's all they needed. It's a princess.
Jake's got the choo-choos outside his house.
Yep, train's driving by at fucking 9:43 p.m.
just blasting the horn.
Honk, honk, so let him know.
Wake up, Jake.
Oh, I sleep through a train every day.
How do you, like...
Can't sleep without a train.
It literally shakes my house.
Yeah, that makes
like
sense.
A baby in a cradle.
Yeah. How did the shadow...
Just, it's the slightest sound.
It heard you.
I thought you heard.
The shadow took over... K-9, and I think that is not canon, because K-9 is an actual god in the Doctor Who universe, and was pretending the whole time.
The Hooniverse, if you
the
will.
Hooniverse. The quips that came from K-9 when the Doctor pulled him out of the roastery, and he's like, oh, yeah. Nobody got hurt. K-9's like, negative.
From my memory, I think this is the best K-9 episode. Like, I don't remember him having this much to do, being this capable and, like, successful. Like, all I remember in later or in other K-9 stories is him just constantly running out of batteries and just like, oh, shit, we can't use. Because writers, like, don't want him as, like, this get out of jail free card. So they're like, oh, we have to find a reason to take him out of the story. And they're always just like, oh, he runs out of power.
Well, they found a really clever way.
And this writer, like, doubled down.
Yeah, he's like...
He's like, no, we're going to extra use him.
Yeah, make him a fucking secret agent for the bad guy. That's awesome.
That was perfect. Awesome. It does feel a little over-intelligent, though, for, like, the character we've seen. But that's fine.
Well, this is early days.
He can house shrunken people.
They also make him a literal Trojan horse, which is great.
That is great.
So fun.
Also, I did like the I Love Any, shrinking episodes. That was my favorite one back in the day. The Honey, I Shrunk the Kids episode.
And you know,
I love shrinking.
When that door slides open and you see the Doctor and Drax, not the worst effects. Like, pretty good for their time.
Yeah.
I love it. Shrink them every episode. It's great.
The gun animation was pretty cool.
I guess Planet of Giants is your favorite episode.
Yeah, it is. It's a great episode.
Little people.
K-9 actually parks on the Doctor's scarf.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that happens a lot. Like, probably in every episode that K-9 and the Doctor are in. And this time, they're just like, fuck it, we're not shooting this again.
Just rip it out.
If it were up to Tom Baker, the show would just be him and K-9 for 15 years. And there would be no other companions. And he would just get all the dialogue.
Is that a Tom Baker thing?
Yeah, he hates everyone.
Yeah,
he hates everyone and only wants to, wants to be the only actor on Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason after he left the show he didn't interact with it for 30 years is because he...
I am Doctor Who.
They kept doing it without him. There are fun stories of, like... We'll probably bring it up again when we get to the story, but there's, like, stories where they're out in public shooting, and so, you know, kids show up and want to get autographs and stuff like that. And so he would, like, lay down in the grass with K-9 and, like, do the London, or, like, the Times crossword puzzle. And then the guy that does the voice of K-9 would be in the production truck with a copy of it, and he would be sitting there, like, asking K-9 what he thought the question or the answer to questions were. They'd sit there, the kids around him, they'd be making jokes and making everyone laugh. He's the only person Tom Baker liked, and that's because he didn't have to act with him. Of course, now Tom Baker's much more chill. He loves everybody, loves Doctor Who. He's a very happy old man.
Good. Good for him.
Senile. Drugs. I think is the correct term.
Oh, dear.
No, how dare you. They just announced a new series he's doing, but apparently, I did read while looking stuff up today that he has done Big Finish with Romana 2, Lala Ward, and they do not record together. Most of the times they get the cast together to record, and they each have stand-ins for the other actor to, like, bounce off of, but they will not be in the same room together.
Nice.
Standard divorce.
50 years later.
Well, at this point, they're probably just like, it's that sunken cost. They've hated each other for 30 years. Can't stop now.
50.
Well, they don't have kids, right?
It's been 80 no. years.
That's a crazy grudge to hold. Like,
wow. Nobody holds a grudge like Tom Baker.
Well, I think it might be more on her at this point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if he's a chill dude.
Hey, Cody.
Hey, Jake.
Do you know who Douglas Adams is?
Oh, it's my best friend. I call him D. Adams. Big D.
He's a writer, a very famous writer, who wrote and created Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm.
Very big in the UK. Started as a radio show, books, movies, movie singular. But a big deal. And he was... The episode after this, he takes over as the script editor for Doctor Who, but he's all over this one. Like, he's helping. He wrote the end scene with the Black Guardian. He wrote an episode earlier in this season, and he had come up with the idea of one of the key pieces being a person. So they use that for this. And he's kind of helping out with the script editing because, you know, he's geared up to take over the job, so he's kind of shadowing. And it does feel like a lot of the humor in this really lines up with his kind of humor. So there, I feel like one of the reasons maybe we like this one a lot is there's a lot of Douglas Adams influence on here.
Yeah. There was enough aloofness and lightheartedness that it was...
Yeah, but also just Tom Baker, like, when other people are talking, I find myself just watching him, which is what a star is, because his reactions, and even just, like, when he starts walking, he, like, always takes a step the wrong direction first before he starts going the correct direction, or he's just always doing something to add just a little bit to the performance.
I want to think Tom Baker came up with the joke in the end, where he's like, "We have the most powerful key in the galaxy. Right. It's all mine."
I thought he was having a stroke. He looked crazy.
The acting behind it, like, was silly, but I was all aboard. Yes. Just how absolutely out of pocket he was. It was a funny joke. Great. I liked it.
She's like, "Doctor, we can't." "No, of course not. But just imagine if I wanted to, right?" We'd be fucked.
Full Schmeagle. Perfect Schmeagle.
Speaking of the end, we find out that we have never met the White Guardian at all, and that this was the Black Guardian the whole time.
Knew it.
And the Doctor susses it out and just blows the keys back out into the universe.
Did we talk about this in the first one? He seemed too Southern, which seems kind of evil.
Yeah.
Anybody shows up,
get fucked up.
It's just a big white tux with a sweet tea. You're
he's,
a villain.
He's too plantation-y to be good.
He was drinking like absinthe. It was a green. And he was in like a tiki chair. It had nothing to do with the South at all. He was wearing like a Cuban like hat.
No, play it back. We definitely said that.
Just because he was in white, you think he's Colonel Sanders.
I do say it to Claire now.
100%.
Claire, give me all them keys.
We
give me them
it.
Keys, boy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you guys have real short memories.
No, you have a short memory.
Play it back. It's recorded.
Maybe your memory's too long.
Oh, that's funny.
So, in the original script, it wasn't the Black Guardian. The Doctor simply decides he doesn't trust the White Guardian and just puts the keys back or sends them back out into the universe. And the only reason it got changed is because the actor who played the White Guardian or Colonel Sanders, Cyril Luckman, wasn't available. So we're like, fuck it, let's just do the Black Guardian.
Evil.
We just make him a negative on screen and it'll look weird for everybody.
Right. And then when Romana sees his face, it's like, you're not the White Guardian, or not the president. He was pretending to be the president when he talked to her. He's like, oh yeah, I can just change my face. And she's like, oh, cool. So can I.
Totally fine with it. Yep, that makes sense. That checks out. Got it. Did they change the person who did the music? Because this music was so Disney-esque. Oh. It just seemed different.
I feel like K-9 also had his own soundtrack for himself.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, just real trumpety and real, like,
it was, I think specifically the Disney, like, music you're talking about is when K-9 was just bouncing around.
It just was, like, so joy. And also, there was, like, a trumpeting when someone entered the room, and I was like, that sounds exactly like the trumpeting from...
Peter Pan?
No. Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, yeah.
Yeah, when the king comes out. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they just ripped that straight from the 1940s.
It's a sample.
That's definitely where that came from.
It's a sample.
I don't know.
Perfectly legal.
Movie came out. Anyways.
Yeah, oh, all right. Yeah, tweets.
What kind of tweets we got?
Tweets, yeah, tweets.
Well, I don't even know if we have any. I haven't checked yet.
Oh.
I put out the call kind of late this morning.
I can tweet you real quick.
I grammed it.
I thought this episode was all right.
Let's see. We have 3 people on Twitter liking our post and reposting it, but nobody responded.
We're so popular. Yeah. Look at that.
I don't think people were excited to rewatch this.
I
worked to think about it.
Makes sense.
If you are our worst enemy, feel free. Watch it.
Also, you're kind of jumping all around all the places, so they don't have any... previous knowledge.
Thrown
yeah.
No groundwork.
Yeah. They're like, oh shoot, I just watched the second Keys story. That's definitely what happened. There's 40 people out there that watched the second Keys waiting to comment. They didn't get to.
I explained why we're jumping around.
Did you? Because I wasn't specific. To us? Okay. I was like, you haven't.
But I think it's kind of out there why I might be doing this. And I put it on Twitter, too.
I haven't
too,
figured
like,
it out yet.
I assume it has something to do with the new season.
Yes, he said that. But why? Like, he's trying to guess something. But what are we guessing?
I can't wait for him to be wrong.
I'm also so excited for that to be wrong.
Like, why did we watch those 3 episodes? No reason at all.
I was trying to figure out what you would take from... the first one we watched to this one we watched, and now the next one, which I don't know what we're watching, but what is it?
Well, the next one is 4 years later.
So it's not Romana. It's not...
You'll just have to
wait. No, I need to know. I need to speculate.
We should have a segment of like, why is Jake having us watch these?
That's what I'm saying.
Right before Jake.
This is the only time that's relevant. Yeah, the answer every other time is going to be because it's the next episode.
No, the answer every time is torture, pain.
I think my guess is it's the Black and White Guardians are returning for a story. That's my guess. It could be the Key returns. It could be Romana returns.
Ooh. No, it's probably Drax. I think the Black and White Guardians make sense.
Key of time. Yeah. The time key makes more sense.
We need to see what the next
Alex,
one is.
The next one we're watching, you have seen before.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it's called the Fifth Doctor. A whole new Doctor, guys. And it's called Enlightenment.
That sounds like a Guardian episode.
The White Guardian.
Yeah, but they're not gonna call them like white and black guardians. That's a microaggression. Can't do that. Not in 2025.
Yikes. What you call them?
Do they rename?
Key of Time.
The evil guardian and the.
Yeah, that's
no. Right. You can't do guardian? That because then it just assumes color and alignment.
Did you just assume my alignment, bro?
Chaotic, neutral, and
There you go. The chaotic guardian.
D&D guardians.
The guardian that enjoys penne pasta
with no pepper because it's too spicy.
With
no
evil person right there. Never trust him.
One of my favorite memes is like a French chef or something, like filling a mag with penne, like a gun mag.
Yeah. I'm gonna need so that funny. Meme.
It's always followed by like, I love breaking my noodles before I cook them, and it's just like loading the mag with penne.
What on earth?
It's dumb. It makes me laugh though.
That's the best kind of things to find humor in, the real dumb.
Okay, but who does break their spaghetti before cooking it?
Terrorists.
Pretty much always do.
I always do.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I cook in a really small pot, so half of the pasta
I made pasta
would be like
the other day
minutes,
when Terry came over, and I'm sitting there waiting for it to soften so I could push it down, and I'm like, this sucks. Why didn't I just break it?
Yeah, just use a bigger pot, guys.
It doesn't fit. No.
There
it
was
never
spaghetti.
Fits.
You're like, killing the fish.
That's double the water.
Oh, no.
Also, we have to cut up the pasta for the kids anyway, so might as well just pre-cut it.
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing is we're cutting up the pasta for the kids.
That's crazy.
You're crazy.
I always break it.
Look at Alex and his fucking long pasta privilege. Damn.
Dude, long pasta is bad, especially as a kid. You love slurping pasta.
Why is he so elite on long pasta?
Oh, listening to somebody else slurp pasta makes me want to kill somebody else.
It's not about you. It's about your kids and having fun.
Having fun. I do. I understand that like eating long pasta is just better all around. It sucks to try and like fork twist broken pasta. It's not great. It's just efficient. It's like cargo pants. Nobody likes cargo pants. Everybody makes fun of cargo pants.
Okay, I do think like if you're having to eat the pasta with a spoon, you're overdoing it. Yeah, like you should still be able to twist it onto your fork.
I do enjoy the spoon though. When I go to a restaurant, it's like, God, I should do this at home. Like,
you have the spoon with the fork. Yeah, you spin it on the spoon. Yes, but like, if you need a spoon because it's so broken, that's not okay.
You're saying just spoon?
Yeah, that's like SpaghettiOs.
Spoon in the chicken noodle soup. Yeah.
Oh boy. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Yeah, like Doctor Who or
fuck.
I don't know.
Favorite lines. Favorite transmitted line. Up the transmitter. Look, transmat.
What does transmat mean? It's when you you materialize help.
Material.
No, the
So every story, I like to look at the ratings.
So we had no tweets.
How many people watch the show? No tweets. Part one got 7.5 million. Part two, 8.8. Part three, 7.8. Part four, 8.6. Part five, 8.6. And part six, 9.6 million viewers.
Well,
people wanted to see how that season-long story wrapped up. And I'm sure they're all disappointed. Oh, we just put it back and absolutely nothing mattered.
Yeah, that Doctor was the
although we do get the randomization circuit, and now we have a reason why the Doctor just shows up at random places.
Yeah, we didn't need one.
I think it got stuck in there forever.
Yeah, it's never been taken out.
Yep, they forgot about it.
Well, the first and second Doctor like didn't know how to fly the TARDIS, and then the third Doctor had the memory of the TARDIS taken away from him. We'll see quite soon how that gets resolved. And so now they need a reason. Like, Tom Baker's probably been mostly going to places on purpose.
Are we going back to the third Doctor?
We are, after Shooty's next season. So it'll be In June, we're going back to the Third Doctor.
Sick. Jake, we need more games.
Nah.
Do we have trivia for this one? It's got to be trivia.
Yeah, the Doctor or married like trivia, someone like from facts? This episode. Who'd Give, he marry?
No, no fun facts. Give me 1 minute.
That fun facts theme song.
You're making a game theme song.
Do fun facts.
Can I use this minute of time?
Hell yeah, brother.
Boo.
Let's have it.
The boo theme song.
No.
I kind of really want to watch the soap opera that was playing in the beginning of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I thought the same thing.
Right.
I was hoping they were going to continue the soap opera.
Interrupted.
No, that's not the segment. That's not the segment.
Also interrupting to say that.
Oh, God. Finish your minute, bro. That was
30 seconds.
Uninterrupted!
Oh, man.
Just about the soap opera in the beginning? Come on.
It was really
I
good.
Have in... Shut up.
Oh. Uninterrupted.
I have in my hand a book that my mother got me for Christmas. It is a trivia book written by Ken Jennings, the current host of Jeopardy.
Wow.
And every page is a date of the year. So he has a bunch of trivia questions for the 11th of March.
Mm.
The Ides of March.
Okay. That makes sense, no. I guess.
Man, that was on my internal, and you guys said it externally.
Hey. They're always themed. And there's categories. Give me 2 more seconds. I suddenly really have to pee.
Oh, Terry, here you go.
Oh,
God.
Sorry, no, we said listeners. Favorite quotes. And right away in the beginning of episode 2, when we talked to Merrick and they're like looking for Astra, I just love when the Doctor and Romana like turned to him like, why are you looking for her? And he's like, I love her. And both of them were just like, oh, okay. I thought.
Yeah, that was very fast exposition at the second episode, at the beginning of the second episode. It was crazy.
The Ides of March is the 15th of March.
Yeah, no, we
so
were
all idiots.
I knew we were wrong, but
it seemed to go.
Yeah, like it felt right.
It did feel right.
And this is a podcast about vibes.
We vibing.
We talk about vibes. Banging is just a term for vibes.
Oh, Romana banging?
Oh, Romana banging. Very much so.
For sure.
Canine banging?
Those boots?
Canine not banging. No.
All her boots.
Canine's not banging?
Canine does not wear a single jacket, so.
And all right, Jill, strap up. We duel at dawn.
Wrong vibe.
No, I think I agree with Jill. Canine's not banging because he doesn't command the room. He just is the room. You know what I mean?
Literally, he had people inside of him.
Okay, family-friendly podcast. We need to take it easy with this.
No.
We got a shrink kink going on, and we got whatever that just was. Let's all simmer down. All
right, everyone shut up.
No, okay. Jake's going to enjoy listening back on all of this.
The top of all... No, I won't.
He never does. Never
the
does.
Top of all of these pages, each page is a day of the year. The top just has like a random fun fact. This comes from 1869. French missionary Armand David first describes the giant panda to the West, having received a panda skin from a generous hunter. No one knows where the word panda comes from. It's sure not Chinese. It may come from ponya, a Nepali word for the ball of the foot, which would make it the only English loan word from Nepali.
Oh.
So that makes the first quiz
what?
Category.
Why would it be the ball of the foot for a panda? Help me.
Don't think about it.
No, I need more. Deep dive.
It's what Google's for.
This category is called You'll Never Walk, W-O-K, alone, 2 words, A-L-O-A-N. And it's what language did English borrow these sets of words?
Ooh.
No, oh, this don't is ask. Be a yeah, don't ask me this question.
I wouldn't be able to identify it, probably.
So, Terry, we'll go with you first.
God damn it. No, I'm so stupid.
These are there's 5 in the easy category and 5 in the hard category, and there's 5 of you guys.
Ew.
So, Terry.
Yes.
Your word. There's three words. What language did we get these words from? Ombudsman, smorgasbord, and tungsten.
Oh, no. Swedish? I don't know.
It is Swedish.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Guys, I'm smart.
It's all about the chef.
I know. That's exactly what I went to. I was like, what did the Muppets teach me?
Smorgasbord.
Okay.
It's like O-M. Like any O-M word.
Yeah.
Cody, here are your three words. Chutzpah, glitch, and schmaltz.
German?
They are Yiddish words.
Oh, man. I thought
yeah. German for sure. I don't even know what that language is.
So it's like a Jewish. Israel? Yeah. Or...
Yeah.
Okay. Sam? Honcho, soy, tsunami.
Mexico.
No, tsunami?
Those are Japanese words.
I don't know. Soy?
No, soy not the world literally... will know. The world will know.
Hey, Alex... the first two are... I did not listen to the third word, to be fair. I was
you think the word soy? Okay. So,
wait,
yes,
what was the
soy,
first one? Yeah,
soy
yeah.
Is a Mexican word for I. Yeah.
It's not also Mexican, it's Spanish.
Yeah.
But it comes from Mexico.
I understand the confusion.
Alex, it's your turn. Your three words are canyon, guitar, and rodeo.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Mexico.
Excellent.
As we have established, Mexico is not a language.
Well, but, okay, if language. You want a language, it's not going to be Spanish. What's, like, what is the, like, what are native Mexican speakers speaking?
Spanish.
No.
They right. speak Spanish.
I know. Okay, Jake, move on. That's not what
What's
I'm talking
your answer?
About. That. Spanish? It's not right.
Okay, well, Spanish. The answer's Spanish.
Yeah, it's definitely Spanish.
So, Jill, your turn. Hula, luau, and ukulele.
These seem really easy.
I wouldn't know how to name that language. Well, I suppose I would, maybe.
Filipino?
It's Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
Hawaiian's
these are
not
the easy
a language?
Ones.
Yes,
they have. Yeah, they
It was a whole nation before they became a state called the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Idea.
They had a king. They had their own national anthem. Okay, now we're in the harder category.
Wonderful.
Well, there's actually three categories. There's
Happy
easy, harder,
us.
And yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Don't ask us that.
Okay, Terry, your three words. Bangle, dungarees, and pundit.
Australian.
Hindi.
Damn it.
Like, Bangle is a very...
I... Yeah.
Oh, tiger. Yeah.
Cody, your words are intelligentsia.
Australian. Not tiger. Wrist.
I'll start over. Cody, your words are intelligentsia, mammoth, and step. STEPPE.
That's given, like, Greek. I think that's a language.
They are Russian.
Russian. Really? Step is Russian.
Sam, alcohol, safari, and zero.
Africa?
Language.
Afrikaans is a language. Afrikaans.
Yep. I don't think that's right. That's one, not that right, one. But...
They're Arabic.
Arabic? Safari.
Alex... Arabic. Dollar, muffin, and stroll.
English?
The category is what language did English borrow these words from?
Yeah, I thought it originated from England, like muffin and stroll.
Old,
it didn't.
The old timey English.
Does,
I'll
is
give
there,
you another chance.
Is there an old language that's from England?
Old English.
I mean, at some point.
Scottish.
It's German.
Dollar?
What Jill? Was it?
These, I feel like
dollar,
these are all
going to
be surprising.
Dollar, muffin, and stroll.
Yeah, that's like, that's wild.
Jill, your words are amok, A-M-O-K, ketchup, and orangutan.
Hmm. Is it like Danish? I don't know what that language would be.
Well, think of a place that has a lot of monkeys.
Our house.
I mean, Asia-ish.
It is Asia-ish.
I don't have a language.
It's Malay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that, nope.
I didn't even know what that language was called.
All right, we're going to do the super hard category, then we'll get out of here.
No.
Terry?
We didn't even get it right.
Okay, okay.
You're supposed to get it right. That's
for the smart people to get it.
Point. Terry got one.
Yeah, there are people also listening to this.
Yeah, they're smarter.
Terry, your words are kumquat, typhoon, and wok, W-O-K. I might have gotten this.
I might have gotten this. No, I wouldn't have got this. No, I might have got this.
I don't know. Vietnamese.
Great guess. Great guess, though.
Cantonese.
Cantonese. China.
Yeah.
Cody.
I wouldn't have got it.
Oh, I had no idea.
Caboose, cookie, and yacht.
So yacht has a C and an H right next to it, which is like telling me Polish.
Dutch.
Dutch.
I think they had yachts in Poland.
Well, borrowed the word.
those landlocked countries. Sam, lollipop, posh, and pal.
Is that CH right next to each other again? You know what to do.
None of those words has a CH.
What? Yeah.
Wait, posh?
Posh.
P-O-S-H.
I was thinking like Porsche kind of. Yeah. No, my bad. This is why I got all mine wrong.
I want to say the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz.
Well, it's Romany, which I guess is Roman from a long time ago. Who knows?
No, well, that
Romani.
Romani, yeah, that the where the
Alex. I don't know what this language is, so good luck. Your words are catamaran, cheroot, and pariah.
Pariah.
Catamaran. Catamaran. Oh.
Catamaran.
Sorry, Turbo just got up and is hacking everywhere.
Oh no.
Well, it's Tamil, T-A-M-I-L. I don't even know what that is.
What?
No
what
idea.
Pretty sure it's a spice.
Terry, right. can we get a Google on that?
Also, T-A-M-I-L, Terry.
T-A-M-I-L.
Produce something, producer.
I love how he said it's a spice. I've never seen him cook a thing in his life.
Well, you take the Stouffer's lasagna out of the box.
Yeah.
Put it in
the it's on the I'm top.
Pretty sure I see that on the ingredients list.
Oh. It's a Dravidian language spoken primarily in South India and Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
You had me on Dravidian.
Jill, this one's hard, but it is a language that has come up in our discussions today. And your words are aardvark, commando, and trek, T-R-E-K.
Australian.
Yeah.
Australian has not come up, and they speak English there.
I said it.
It's... Oh, well, you shouldn't have because they speak English. It's Afrikaans.
Afrikaans.
Mm. Oh, man.
Trek.
All right, that got us to the hour mark. We can quit this shit. We'll leave that book there for any time we stop at 48 minutes and need something. That's
hey,
a fun book.
We can be short. That's fine.
There's 9,000. There's also three more categories just for that day. So any day we open that book, we'll have a quiz.
It's short king season, short podcast season, short.
Short king summer, bro.
I've considered busting this book out instead of doing our top 50 game, but they're all really hard. So there's just going to be a lot of us not getting anything right.
Jake thinks we're stupid.
Imagine when we do. How cool that's going to be.
Well, the fact that two of you got one right and one of those two is Terry is flabbergasting.
Hey, Terry's smart.
Yeah, the Muppets taught me well.
There you go. It's just got to be a Terry niche.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just means that he was literally raised by Muppets. okay. Oh, MVP. Quick. Terry.
Oh.
Tom Baker.
Jill.
K-9.
Damn it.
Sam.
Romana.
So, hold on. Jill, do you want to go John Leeson, the actor, or like the writing?
I don't want to say writing because the rest of the writing wasn't great. But, okay, fine, Romana.
The person working the bot.
Wait, you change your whole thing?
Yeah.
What?
I know it was...
Mary Tam. Hey, it's her last story. She's got to get some love. Sorry. Sam, who'd you say?
Romana.
Okay, Cody?
K-9.
And who do you mean when you say K-9?
Who? John Gleason.
John Leeson.
John. So close. Verbatim. You heard me.
Gleason out here. Gleason on these glizzies.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I have autographs from three people in the story. I've got John Leeson. I've got Romana 2, and I've got Tom Baker.
Hey, see, that's actually a pretty cool little...
It doesn't even say Princess Astra for this story, just Romana 2.
Romana 2.
I could say Lala Ward. I could say her human name. Gross. Be nice to get a Romana 1. They're going to be up there because she's passed. But, Alex.
It's absolutely K-9, the actor.
John Leeson. I am going to go with the writers. I think this was well written, and I think a lot of the jokes kind of came from the whole team, and I have closed my... So that's Bob Baker, Dave Martin, but also the script editor, whose name I'm blanking on, and then Douglas Adams, who helped out with it as well.
Anthony Reed.
Sounds like six votes for K-9.
Alex, start the song. This has been Married Who, our episode on the Armageddon Factor. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex, and our producer, Terry, thank you so much for listening, and please join us next time for Enlightenment. Bow,